so absolutely critical right now, that in the failed override is going to hit on every single department. It's not that one is going to get shielded and the rest kind of everyone's going to feel the impacts of this.
Here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. There was a school committee meeting last week, so our chalkboard chat session is a little bit delayed, but you know, schedules, life happens, it just gets complicated these times, this time of year. So, welcome, Dave Callahan, school committee chair. Are you ready for chalkboard chat today?
Hey, I am so excited. Thanks as always, Steve.
You know, I appreciate you taking the time to do so, and obviously you're making time to do so. That's really the important piece, because the schedules are just they're going crazy.
Things are a little busy right now. And then, especially now we're coming up on the end of the school year. And so it's after school activities and baseball season. And, we also have, I don't know if folks have heard about it, but we had an override vote on June 3rd, too. And so there's a lot going on right now.
There is indeed. So I'm sure we'll cover the override vote. But in the meantime, we'll go back to the school committee meeting. And you started with a happy piece with the theater group, the famous theater group that made it to the state finals for the first time.
We did. And it was awesome. And we had been receiving like their updates as they kind of went along with their performance of the Yellow Boat. But we finally had the opportunity to kind of recognize them. And these kids worked so hard to just, I mean, put together the entire show, because unfortunately, because of last year's failed override, they took the music and the arts department took a massive hit. And so but these kids just worked. The grit and determination was just incredible. And obviously the talent is off the charts as they made it to where they did. And so it was great to be able to have them in the council chambers and to be able to kind of recognize them for the great success that they've had this season.
Yeah, I had the pleasure to talk with at least three of the cast before they went to the finals, and it was just a thrilling conversation. They were just special people to talk with. There's hope.
There is, and these kids are amazing, and I'm so glad that we've really kind of made sure to recognize all the incredible talent and achievements for these kids. Whether it's it's in actually on the 27th, I think we're gonna have some celebrate some kids from the music department, but we've had from our sports, and we've had just a couple of weeks ago from some individuals that got like with the arts and writing achievements as well. I want to, just so folks understand, this is, like we have a great school system and we have amazing kids that are able to take advantage of it, but this is what we want to protect. And this is what we want to preserve, is these great achievements and be able to provide as many great opportunities for these kids as, all the seniors and the high schoolers and the kids that kind of came before. And so it's always amazing to have them in the room, but I really hope that they kind of see the community sees what great kids that we have in the school system, because what I also know is that the kids beneath them, they're setting the stage as the role models. When my son, he came when the Franklin boys basketball was being recognized,
Oh,
and
he
like
was bouncing.
oh my God, he left on cloud nine to be able to see those guys. And so it's they set such a great example for that next generation of students. But and so it's always wonderful to bring them into to the meetings and get them properly recognized for the hard achievements that they've earned.
For sure. And then, in regards to the redistricting, you got a key update on the traffic study and the mitigation efforts. And certainly, we can touch on it, I'm sure, a couple of points along the way. But effectively, what we have today, there'll be no significant projects done before school opens this September. Anything further from a project and funding perspective would happen sometime after September and be ready for September 2026.
Exactly. And I love that Wheelie kind of Colin, Director of Operations, kind of framed it in that fashion. You know, say like it's not going to be perfect day one. We have a lot of great those mitigation strategies we can kind of talk about in a moment, but that we don't want to, you know, I mean, Franklin's not in a position where we can just kind of throw around money willy-nilly. And so we want to be mindful of every dollar that's kind of being spent. And so when it comes to some of those big capital projects, like they mentioned some new designs that can help, you know, reduce some traffic, especially down like Lincoln Street and a few other ones. But as opposed to spending money on a concern and a worry, let's live it. Let's work on these mitigation strategies that are zero cost and to try to make it as best and efficient as possible. And then in, you know, next summer and future years, now let's start to use that capital money that we, you know, we always kind of go through a capital improvement request.
Right.
And then now, you know, maybe, you know, we'll have some traffic construction, some mitigating, you know, construction go to the top of that priority list in the future, but not for this summer, you know, 2025, for this incoming fall year.
Yeah, because effectively on the second part and reinforces that it's not operational funding, it's all capital funding. We've already decided the capital funding for this year, but we would have another opportunity for next year.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's and it's great. I'm glad you mentioned that because when I was chatting with a neighbor just the other day, and she was really kind of worried about just the, you know, with the upcoming override and how that whole process works. And the way that the town does manage it is it does kind of have like that one bucket of money for the operating budget, but then completely separate. And I know like Councillor Cormier Ledger always kind of brings this up and talks about, you know, the difference. And but so where that's where, you know, from the separate bucket, this is where the capital improvements are kind of coming from. And the town council meetings have gone into depth about why it's kind of done and structured that way. But ultimately, it allows us to be able to say, okay, we can kind of anticipate some capital improvement money coming next year. And now maybe we just may have to kind of prioritize some different things depending on how the traffic's going, how the reorganization's going, kind of so on and so forth.
So in the meantime, for September and some of those minor mitigations, and there'll be additional communications out to the parents who clearly matter in terms of the kiddos drop-offs at whichever schools. All of those are still going to be worked through, and then the summertime communications will be happening before September opens 2025.
Exactly. And I love, I think it was Al Charles that had mentioned the idea of doing a video of like a go-to of like, you know, here's how the pickup and drop-off procedures is going to work. And because it is helpful. I was chatting with somebody else at lunch with this guy the other day, and he was saying, you know, sometimes you get worried when you're dropping those kids off, because it is so like you gotta go here, you gotta pick the kid up, you gotta drive over there, you don't want to hold up the back of the line. And so it's like, you know, what can we do? This is going to be new for, you know, so many families. I'm a Kennedy dad, and so I kind of have a pretty good idea about how the Kennedy, you know, pickup drop off goes, but this is going to be a totally new environment over
Sure.
at Lincoln. And so you know, how can we make sure that as many parents know what the procedure is going to be and how that's all going to kind of be handled to make it just as smooth as possible.
Agreed. And I think the video would be a good way to do it, even if we quote kind of stage it deliberately, you know, maybe a couple of cars at a time, but at least because even the Lincoln folks who are there today, part of the Keller Sullivan community, it's going to be new for them next year because today you've got the elementary separate from the middle school arriving. Now, in the future, it's going to be all the elementary arriving in the same time periods. So, and that's where I think the early drop-off is being toyed with as an option to alleviate some of that. And maybe not everybody can take advantage of that, but those that can will alleviate the traffic for those who can't.
Exactly. And that was a great one too, where I love they kind of talked about that early potential drop off. And so what they're looking at is, you know, for around 8 o'clock to be able at the elementary levels to kind of drop your kiddos off. So that way, you know what, maybe it's going to be a little bit easier for you. You know, you can't the timing of the bus is tricky, or you know, you're trying to get into work, and now to be able to kind of go drop your kids off at school just that little bit earlier. And then they can kind of go on in. There's going to be some staff, you know, so that way it's not like the kids just kind of running amok around the
Right.
school.
They'll be in the
They
calf in a
got
controlled environment.
exactly. And then we still, you know, can kind of go grab breakfast too. And so there's There's that. There's some great ideas in terms of the pickup procedures, and so there's a lot of great opportunities that there that are zero cost, or minimal cost that really may help to reduce the traffic just by kind of spreading that out. Because if you know all of a sudden you kind of get a few hundred cars that decide to kind of come right at 8 o'clock or a little bit before, well, those cars aren't coming when the vast majority of the rest of the cars and the bus are coming as well. So.
Yeah. More work to come, but yeah, the biggest work is going to be after September 2025 in terms of whatever capital is decided. But I think the analogy you also made, and I think the technical term is desire lines, when you told the story of the school, I think it was a college community, they'd built the quad and then didn't put the pavement in as to where the sidewalks were going to be. They just waited for the students to walk across. And all the paths were thereby defined. The heavier paths were, quote, the desire lines in the technical term. And that's where they put the pavement. And it works properly. So watching what the traffic's going to do in September and thereafter as people learn the new route, then, okay, well, we thought about this. Maybe we can do this.
Exactly, because they already they there was some ideas that when they did their that phase one traffic study that came about, some they presented, other ones were kind of just DOA. But yeah, now we kind of go, we live in it, we see where everyone's at, and then do phase two of that traffic study, and then start to kind of move forward. So yeah, it was a great presentation. Colin again has just been knocking out of the park, but I gotta say that he's also been working hand in hand with folks on the town side as well, and so it's been a great partnership this entire time.
For sure. Minor item in terms of the BICO and accept which of the two collaboratives. So you're reappointed our Superintendent Lucas Jaeger to both of those collaboratives to represent the school district in those operations.
Yeah, and that one, and he's served on that for a number of years now, and so it's just at this point, we want to, he's doing a great job, obviously with our schools, but he's doing a great job over there, and so just the kind of that reappointment.
Then you had a discussion only item on the Horace Mann naming convention. And while there was no decision per se, I think the consensus is still forward to do something in that Horace Mann campus naming piece.
Exactly. And we really just kind of wanted to use this as an opportunity to talk about it, have conversations, let folks kind of say, well, if I spoke to this neighbor or this friend over here, and here's this input. So really just kind of a consensus discussion opportunity, and then we'll continue to move forward on that with formal votes as we next upcoming meetings.
I think it's appropriate since you mentioned vote. I think one of your subcommittee colleagues or committee colleagues, Dr. Griffiths, said, you know, it'd really be good to really honor Horace Mann by voting for the override to fully fund the education in his hometown, which is what he started to do once upon a time.
What one of the best lines I feel all year, and it because it's yeah it's dead on. Like if you if we I have some ideas where I'd love to be able to continue honoring Horace Mann's legacy, and including with the campus or looking at the calendar or how can we kind of get his name and what he's done, his contributions into the school systems earlier. But at the end of the day, yeah, you want to honor Horace Mann's legacy, the father of public education. You vote yes on June 3rd. And that's the absolute hands down best way to honor that man and his legacy is to ensure that we have a properly funded educational system for our kids.
And it's not just an option. It is in our Mass Constitution, Commonwealth of Mass Constitution for a fair and equitable education for all residents and students. So, yeah, we have to choose to fund it, and thereby it's our choice. But then you segued to the superintendent's evaluation, and he had a learning opportunity, I guess, in developing some expertise around a new Flipboard book format.
And he did, and I told him at some point, I'm just looking to see what'll he doesn't have to keep upping the ante year after year after year, but he does. And I mean, it's a great service to us in the Franklin Public School Systems. But yeah, that he puts together through Canva and this flipbook a beautifully designed superintendent evaluation that is publicly available. Anybody can kind of go and take a look at it, and where he really kind of explained, well, here were the goals that I set out to over the course of the year. And here's effectively where I think that I hit all of these different metrics, because it's the school committee's responsibility to not only to find that superintendent, but then to continually evaluate that superintendent. And so that's where now, after he presented that to us, the shift is now, and the onus is on us to review those documentations, and then over the coming weeks, will be kind of sending that all out to its vice chair, Dave McNeil, is heading the superintendent evaluations subcommittee, and he'll kind of be putting together a presentation that then summarizes our thoughts on the superintendent's effort this past year.
Yeah, and a quick reminder to the listeners that you, as a school committee, have two major functions. One is to hire and evaluate the superintendent, and then two is to pass the budget and approve the budget. Everything else is kind of oversight for those two major actions. And then that gives us a kind of a segue, because the next piece was the executive summary, which on the budget had been a one page, and now you've expanded it to a two pages. So in more in details, although obviously you still hold back some specific details because of the nature of the decisions, you can't really say, well, Jane Doe is going to go. That's not fair to the individual and or the choices. But these are the areas in which the budget cuts would occur should the override not pass.
Exactly, because as anyone who's been kind of following along knows that it's been projected out if the override fails, the schools may incur up to $2 million in cuts. And so the superintendent and his team put together this extra page, this two pager that went into that detail to say, okay, if that override fails and we're looking at $2 million of cuts, how do we get there? And it's spoiler, it's not good. We're looking at potentially 15 to 20 teachers that would have to get cut, and which leads to higher classroom sizes, which would be it's already like the classroom sizes, and the whole reason, one of a reason why we did this reorganization is we have like some kindergarten classrooms with that started with like 26, 27 kids. I mean, what we had one teacher that kind of went and told us, like, they have this area rug with all the letters of the alphabet, and it makes it easy for the kids go and they sit down on the which letter of the alphabet that they want, and that their rug didn't fit because they had more kindergarten kids in their classroom than letters in the alphabet. And that's not it's it, when you talk about Horace Mann's legacy, that's not providing that high quality, equitable access to a great public education system. But we're looking at, if we have to make those cuts, those higher classroom sizes, you're looking at like a loss in mental health, support systems. That there's also like this ripple effect that we've seen in past kind of budget cuts, where this one individual gets cut, but they go and they bump somebody else, who bumps somebody else, and all of a sudden that your favorite teacher is up and gone because of this ripple effect that happens. And but we also talked about the fees as well, because that's been a big discussion point amongst families, where it's buses is it's $500 a kid to kind of play some sports. It's $1,000 a season. The current budget that was approved by the school committee, it seeks to reduce those fees to, it's still not a low amount. It's still higher than the average for most kind of neighboring towns, but at least kind of gets it more comparable.
In less than this
But
year.
yeah, certainly, yeah, much less than this year. Some of the ones that were like with busing, they're from 500 down to like 383, and with football, and this has just been discussed at school committees, but nothing is officially proposed or voted on. But like, say with football, I think trying to bring it down to I think $500 instead of 1,000, And but if that's all contingent on the override. So many of these decisions, the exact number of staff and how many kids will be in the classrooms and what the rates will be, what families will have to pay to not just to send their kids, put them on the bus to go to school, but then some of the extracurricular activities that we were hoping to be able to bring back into the fold, added late bus, all of these are potentially kind of on the cutting room floor with a failed override.
Yeah, so we would encourage folks. Certainly, you are the town page. You can't miss it. Once you go to the town page, there's a big red line that says, "Come here for the info." Their 2-page short notes are updated. I believe yours is updated there as well, with a whole boatload of other info. And both school committee members, town council members, certainly the superintendent and town administrator, folks are available to answer any questions you have. So, cast an informed vote between now and June 3rd.
And yeah, and like I said, if you any of those questions, like we're all available to chat, to answer any questions that folks might have, because it is so absolutely critical right now that in the failed override is going to hit on every single department. It's not that one is going to get shielded and the rest kind of everyone's going to feel the impacts of this. And at least from like the school side through this reorganization process, like I'm really incredibly proud of the work of Superintendent Shakir, his entire team, and my colleagues on the school committee. We've been doing a lot lately, but there's providing some tremendous benefits. I know with this reorganization, it's $3.1 million then in savings from the operating budget, and it's not a one-time savings. This kind of we completely overhauled the entire like just the organizational structure of our budget. And so this is a $3.1 million that we're not asking for next year and that is now out of the budget. So we're not asking for the following of the year after the year after. And we're trying to find more efficient and effective routes with all of our bus transportation. And I know we've chatted before about this, but the special education in-district programming that we have as well,
Significant
it
savings.
provides, yeah, exactly. And not I don't want to I always feel so cold when I kind of talk about the amazing savings because there are it's $5.1 million in savings that we're having year over year over year by investing in these programs. But there's also that qualitative aspect, the fact that we have, Franklin kids going to school with their brothers and their sisters and, being in the same school system with all their neighborhood and their friends. It's amazing and it's wonderful. But it also by investing in the schools, we're also able to kind of save $5 plus million because otherwise some of these kiddos who, have specialized needs, we would have to send them out of district at a different placement that has a substantially higher cost than kind of what we're used to. And so it's just where we've been working tirelessly to try to find as many efficiencies as possible to save as much money as possible. And we're really at this point where Superintendent Shakir's title of the budget, Laying a Foundation for Success, is like just right on point. Like we're there. And we just need to be able to successfully land this plane because if we're all of a sudden having to cut $2 million, we're in trouble and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to look good.
No, and the foundation for the future, as I've seen the chart, and I think it was a few sets ago, although it's still in the budget presentation, you have the page with the number of classrooms and the average students and students positioned by grade, etc. That was done structurally in order to make the efficiencies coming from 5 elementary buildings to 2 buildings and 4 schools, and now positions you, and I think rough math, I think you're at mostly 20, in some cases 21 for a kindergarten, with an average size of 20 to 24. So for just conversation's sake, to make it simple, call it 2 more students could go into eight classrooms in one building. Two more students could go into eight classrooms in another building. So there's 32 students that could come into the schools for whatever reason, new moves, whatever, apartments, whatever, without changing the budget a dollar.
Exactly. And it's, well, without that we there'd be more money kind of coming in without with that, because that overhead cost remains the same, because yeah, the building is already kind of being paid for, the teacher is already being paid for, the lights are already on, and yeah, so you get those additional students coming in, that's additional revenue that's coming in. But the expense side of the equation, yeah, a couple extra pieces of paper, a couple extra pencils, nominal compared to the benefit that it's going to get. And yeah, there's such elegance and beauty with this new reorganization model as we kind of move forward. But if we're trying to do this and then just slashing $2 million after the fact because of the failed override, like it's going to make it so much more difficult to be successful. And I truly hope that's not the position that we find ourselves in,
No, I hope
moving
not.
forward.
I think given the town position where certainly fire went through their restructuring, police went through their restructuring, now the schools have done the restructuring that sets you up for the future. All those questions should be taken away. But yeah, we need to lay the foundation for the future and thereby pass the budget as has been approved so far, because otherwise there are still consequences that would not be appropriate. Oh well, and quick reminder, the town page also still has early voting through May 30th, closed on Memorial Day, obviously for the holiday, and then reopened again for Tuesday through Friday, closed on the weekend, but then open from 6 a.m. through 8 p.m. on June 3rd to vote in person at the high school. So you've got opportunities before that, or do it in person.
Absolutely. And I know last year was just so close for an outcome. And I had that day I sent text reminders to kind of all my Franklin friends, and there was mostly voted, but a handful of them that were like, shoot, I forgot it was today. I'm already out on I'm in the office. I don't know when I'm going to be back, or I just stepped on a plane. I got a business trip. So don't put yourself in that situation. I know I'm not. I'm sending these text reminders much earlier. And but yeah, so for yourself, for anybody, the listeners, but also for every single your friends that you got that live in Franklin, there are so many opportunities to kind of vote for this override on or before June 3rd. Preferably vote yes, as that's what I've been advocating and will continue to advocate for. But just to not get into that position where, shoot, I forgot, or I didn't make an opportunity to kind of get out there, because I guarantee you this one is going to be a very close one again, and you don't want to have missed it and realize my vote would have mattered, because that's what happens. These local elections, every single vote matters and is so important. So please, anybody listening out there, make sure to either go to the town clerk's office and do the early voting, or show up at the high school on June 3rd and vote yes as well.
Well, thank you for taking time from your busy schedule and family shuttle service as usual. And for the listeners, thank you for listening. And quick reminder, in addition to voting, please vote on or before June 3rd. We do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.